Well, greetings, grace and peace to each one. Greetings from the Peak. It's good to be here. Brother John laid a pretty high accolade, but that's okay. Later, I guess a pretty high standard, but that's what we're called to do. As I thought of this message and planned for it, was studying for it, was already working on it and thinking about the new year and what the changes have brought. Found out Brother Jay had COVID and he couldn't be at Peak this morning. He was scheduled to preach, and so I ended up bringing this message this morning at the Peak. So this is the second time today, just to be honest with you. But originally, I started on this message thinking of being here this evening. So, hindsight, we've all heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. And this is a little bit light and humorous. And it's not what the whole message is based on. But we've heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. Well, do you realize that it's the first time in 4,040 years that hindsight has been 20/20? There was a 2020 BC, and do you know what was happening in 2020 BC? Well, Isaac and Rebekah had been married 6 years. Jacob and Esau didn't come along for another 14 years later. They were born in approximately 2006 BC. But I don't think they realized that they were living in 2020 BC at that point. Excuse me. So, as we look back at the year behind us, what have we learned from the year? Brother John, you did a really good job of introducing the message. I wasn't planning on using that scripture, thankfully. It's amazing how the Lord works. It lays different passages on our hearts. What have I learned this past year? And some of the things that I'm going to mention this evening are things that I knew, but the past year reinforced them, maybe aware of them afresh. And I have four basic points that I'd like to talk about. And then we'll look at some scripture for some direction for the future. So our first point, as I thought about last year, this one was... we knew it, but it was really brought afresh to me. God created us all different, and that is good. We all have different backgrounds, different cultures, experiences, I should say, different like family cultures, different church cultures, skin color, maybe even a different country of birth. And some of you have been through some really difficult things in the past year. I don't know all your stories. Painful things. Maybe even some scarring times in your lives that will change you forever. These things change how you see people, how you see situations, how you react to them. All these things... these different, would you say, pressures that we, from our past, have an effect on how we relate to the world around us. They affect how we react to circumstances. Some people react with a stand-and-fight mentality. Some people have a run-and-hide mentality. And there's sort of a humorous story, and full disclosure, it was a comedian that told it. I don't remember when I heard this story, but he was talking about a robbery at a gas station. And this just brings out the difference in people. So this robber walks into a gas station and gets up to the cashier, and he pulls a gun on the cashier. There's two men behind him in line. The first man looks at the floor, and it's a tile floor, and he counts the tiles to the door. He says, there's 8 of them. I think I can get out the door before he shoots me. The next guy in line is saying, there's 10 tiles to the gunman. I think I can get to him before he shoots me. You see the difference in the way they were reacting? We all have a different way of reacting. One guy was being a hero. One guy was looking out for himself. Neither one was wrong in the situation. But we react different to the things we face in life. And 2020 brought out a lot of different responses in people. It did in me, and I'm sure it did in you. And I'm fairly certain that someone has surprised you, or maybe even disappointed you, with their reactions this year. Their reactions to life's difficulties, the challenges we faced. We've got glimpses into people's minds that we wouldn't have without the difficulties we faced. Remember, God created us all different. And that is good. It's easy to see all those things and get frustrated. But you know what? That is good that we're different. Because you and I see things different, it balances us out. Diversity has been a part of the church ever since Pentecost. It brought a lot of challenges in the New Testament. But it helped to balance the church out. It's why we have deacons today, because of the diversity. Point number two is that though we're all created different, yet in many ways, God created us all the same. Every human being on the earth has an unavoidable need for love and acceptance. And that's the drive that helps us get along with people we disagree with. Because today it's pretty easy, if you disagree with someone, to avoid them. Get away from them. Just live your life. But there's something within us, thank the good Lord, that we need people. And that need helps us to get along with our brothers and sisters, with the people we rub shoulders with, to lay down those things that we can and simply get along. So every human being has an unavoidable need for love and acceptance. And each of us wants to be heard. And if not heard, because some people are very quiet by nature and don't speak up, and that's okay. It's a good thing sometimes. If you're not heard, at least respect it. No one likes to feel run over or disregarded. Common amongst all people. We all have that in common. Everyone needs a place to belong. A group, or at least a few people that they feel very close to and accepted by. We found out how important it is to be able to fellowship together. We need each other. We need fellowship. We need a body of believers to be part of. 2020 taught us how important that is. We found out how important it is to gather with saints and to participate in collective worship. I need you. You need me. Because we need a body to be part of. Everyone has a vacuum in their hearts or in their spirit that only God can truly fill. We heard of skyrocketing alcohol sales, and on the heels of that, elevated domestic violence. People were trying to fill that hole, that God-sized hole in their hearts. They tried to fill it with drugs and alcohol, and when that didn't work, they lashed out at the people they loved. Because alcohol and drugs and many, many other things that people try to use to fill that hole, none of it works. Only God can fill that hole in their heart. Another way we're all the same is everyone makes mistakes. There's no human that is perfect or that is right all the time. We all mess up at some point or another. And sometimes we mess up and don't even know it. But our brothers and sisters can see that in us. Point number three. This one's hard. I struggle with this. People without God are capable of committing evil so awful that it's difficult for me to believe it actually happens. I hope you can bear with me as I list a few of those things. I don't know how familiar the church here was with some of these stories. We had the Sasha Krause story. Sasha was at Lamp and Light, was abducted. Later we found out she was murdered. So off the wall, so cruel, so why? And other stories like that. There was just lately, there was an Amish lady up in Pennsylvania. Essentially same story. We just found out that the person that abducted her, he claimed he had sold her, and they have now charged him with murder. Why? How could that happen? What makes people do that? There was a conservative Mennonite couple in Indiana that had a breakdown along the road, or maybe at a gas station. They changed the tire and were working on the lights, and two men approached them and robbed them at gunpoint. After they robbed them, they turned to walk away and suddenly turned around and shot both of them. The wife died on the spot. The husband is dealing with severe repercussions. Still can't swallow right. He's having reconstructive surgeries. How do these things happen? There's a family. They have four or five children. I forget now. The couple was younger than I am, I think. There they are without a mother. Father is having trouble with his own and trying to take care of his family. They've got a lot of support. People are there for them. That's what the church is for. They haven't gotten bitter about it. Praise the Lord. They have, you know, this. How they respond to this can be used so greatly in the kingdom. But we still struggle. How can these things happen? We had a supposedly man-made virus that has taken the lives of many people worldwide. If it was man-made, terrible cruelty. You can't imagine why someone would do that. These are things we struggle to understand that we faced in 2020, the past year. Point number four, yet God is good and God is in control. You know, if you focus on those things, it's hard. And you have to, along with the bad, along with the good, realize the bad. There was bad there also. But God is in control. And even though 2020 brought many difficulties and discomforts, God is still in control. He used this past year to shape and mold us. And we came across something that I feel says it better than I can. And this was written, this is not of my own, this is written by Melissa Troyer. And I quote, "Dear 2020, you were the year none of us really expected. At first, you were sneaky, subtle, and cheeky. But you blew your cover, and your true colors couldn't be hidden. Even behind your mask and confined by plastic partitions, you may think you won, but I have a little story to tell. 2020, you were an unexpected gift. Our demanding schedules and overflowing social obligations screeched to a stop, and suddenly we were home with our families, where life matters most. We got on each other's nerves. We discovered triggers that normal life kept padded and untouched. Suddenly, we had time to look in the mirror and peer deep into the eyes looking back at us. We saw things with the filter blown off. We discovered that church is more than a building, that fellowship is vital, and that walking with God will always be essential. Government crumbled. Media became a hopeless joke. No one believes it anymore. And God's word stood true. It never moved, never wavered. The very fact that this year the world has pulled the plug and fought screaming at every hardship is good. 2020, you've been good for us. Perhaps you were meant to confuse and divide, but here, on the eve of the last day, I sit by the fire and feel the warmth. God was, God is, God ever will be. This world, this life, it's all fading away. Suddenly, we found ourselves reevaluating everything we thought important. Suddenly, things ring hollow, fake, and empty. You were hard on us, but you didn't win. You reminded us where to look for truth. Not around us, certainly not within us, but to God, the only unshakable foundation. C.S. Lewis said so wisely, "If we find ourselves with the desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. A perfect world. A life unmarred by sickness. A government trustworthy and noble in every respect. This is what we were created for. 2020, you made us long and wish for heaven. We will never be the same. Eternity is carved afresh in our hearts, and that is a gift." End quote. We can look, like Brother John said earlier, 2020 will go down in infamy. To us, in this generation, it sure seems so. But it wasn't all bad. It was good for us. Another quote, and I don't know who the author of this was. "For the Christian, this life on earth is as bad as it gets. For the sinner who rejects God, this life on earth is as good as it gets." You think about that. This is as good as it gets. Boy, no wonder people got depressed. But we have a reason to be joyful, because we know this is as bad as it gets for us. This perspective can help us to endure. The inconvenience we face is but for a moment. And in the light of eternity, it's nothing. And I believe eternity is very near. For the church as a whole, we don't know the day or the hour. But as we see all these things happening, and you look at Scripture, I can't help but believe that there are so many prophecies, and I don't study into it like I should because it is overwhelming to me. But there's so many things that are happening that are pointing to some of the things we see in Revelation. I don't think it can be very long till we are taken out, till we are relieved of this burden we call the earth, till the church is raptured into eternity. So we have the hindsight of 2020. We've been talking about that. Does anyone really believe that 2021, this year that we're in now, is going to be any better? I mean, what gives us that, any confidence in that? Of course, we hope it will be. But we certainly have no promise of that. So, looking ahead, where do we go from here? We've learned these lessons. So what should we be doing in the year ahead? Well, the very first thing that I would say, we should not fear. Let's turn to Psalm 46. And we could look at this all evening. This psalm is so full of different comparisons and things that we can look at. But I believe as we apply this psalm to today, where it says God is, let me see, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. I believe it's talking about the church. So let's read this song together. I'll read it now. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You think of that psalm speaking about the church. Wow. Doesn't matter what 2021 is bringing. We should not fear. God is a very present help in trouble. We know we will face hard times in 2021. It's coming. The virus isn't gone. Evil people are still evil and getting more evil because the Bible says in the last times it'll wax worse and worse. We know that's coming. We don't have to be surprised at that. So how do we deal with that? Well, I want to read over again the 4 points. God created us all different, and that is good. In many ways, God created us all the same. Number 3, people without God can be incredibly evil. And number 4, God is good and God is in control. As we think of that, what will benefit us the most in the next year? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And most of you could quote this, I'm sure. It's what we call the love chapter. But as I thought about it, it's so applicable to what we need more than anything else in dealing with what we're facing. It is love. Love for each other, love for the sinner, love, most of all, love for God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So as we think about what we just read, the impact of love on the community around us, on our place in life. A brother said this morning in Sunday school that he was approached by another Christian. I don't know that it was, I don't think it was a conservative Mennonite or anything, but someone he would have considered to be a Christian. This man came and said, "You have got to stand up for your rights. You've got to go to Washington." He was all concerned about this election. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to fear. We don't have to even worry about who's our president. What we're called to do is to love. No matter if the country we live in ends up a wherever it's going, it doesn't really matter. We're not here to change the country we're in. We're here to draw others to Christ, to show that love to the world around us. Jesus came to earth to show us how to love. Now, how are we, His followers, doing at following His example? Are we truly a body of believers known for our love? That was a challenge to me, because loving everyone this year has not been easy. And I'm pretty certain that I have not been all that easy to love at times this year, because we see things different. But love is the glue, how you would define it, but love is what we need to navigate the year ahead. I personally want to do a lot better job of loving people. And that's defined in people's hearts and minds by how well we listen, how much we care about them. And caring, as I found out as a father, at least half of caring and loving people is hearing their hearts, listening to them. I personally want to do a lot better job of listening in the year ahead, of loving people in that way. Do I have regrets about the last year? Yes, I do. Am I fully confident that I can handle anything that 2021 brings? No, I'm not. But I know who has control of 2021. And I know I can rest in Him. We as followers of Christ don't need to fear the future. Our leader's already there. We can walk in faith. And Brother John, like you said earlier, to just take it day by day and however it comes, we need more than that. We need to focus on following Christ, because we can easily get sidetracked. But we can trust God to lead in 2021. We don't have to fear. I'll turn the time back over to you, Ben John.